And joining me today is Doug Somke, president of South Dakota Farmers Union. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Chuck. Boy, what a beautiful morning it is here. I don't know about you, but it's really nice here today.
Well, it is. And did you get any rainfall here this last week?
We did. We got about 3,500, which, wasn't a lot, but it was welcomed. And I was through Minnesota yesterday, and boy, I'll tell you what, they got some water over there again. Their crops they're good crops. They got crops, but boy, they're very pale and a lot of water standing. I think it, as far as the sugar beet crop, looks like the toughest I've ever seen through the area that I drove through.
Well, I was through some of that area too, and weeds were starting to take over some of those fields as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really going to be a challenge for them, and that's one thing I guess we don't have to worry about. We do have some wheat issues, mostly because of year-to-year stuff, but nothing like what they're seeing over there. And it's going to be a challenge for them to get their crops out. That's one thing we're not really working too worried or concerned about. Our wheat crop just wrapped that up, and that was better than expected, and the harvest went well, and the quality was wonderful. I can't complain at all about the quality.
Well, Doug, let's talk about the tariffs. That's what seems to be one that is in the news and the agriculture and watching the markets, and it looks like wheat and corn's kind of going sideways, wheat coming up a little bit. Both those beans are just, nobody really knows what's going to happen there, do they?
No, I'm watching the markets really close, of course, not only for our farm, but for our organization, trying to stay on top of things. And you're right. I mean, the predictions are all over the place. No one seems to be really moving much any direction except down. I mean, we'll see the market come up a penny or two and then go down 10 or 20 cents. And that's not the direction you want to hear or see it go. And I do know that, I noticed that the Brazilians are being a little bit apprehensive about, getting into the market here, and even China's not really looking for other places to buy more soybeans other than get their producers to produce more. So there's a lot of challenges all around the world on this, Chuck. I mean, these tariff things, I've seen this before, that no one ever wins. It ends up costing the consumer and the producers, and that's just the way it goes. And this is really unfortunate, and I'm really worried. I just seen a memo that was sent out by Chuck Connor from the Co-op Association, and his meeting with the White House. It's not looking good. It doesn't look like it's going to be very promising for several months. We're going to see a few things here or there, but nothing's going to be major. Some of the announcements that have already been made, such as the EU thing, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to accept that. The Canadians aren't going to accept, changing their dairy program. It's really a tough spot for us to be in right now without a plan B. I guess that's the thing that's upsetting, is the fact that we didn't have a plan B going into this. And not that we shouldn't have to address these trade issues. I mean, I do think that there's been some trouble there. But we're doing it at the expense of the rural economy that was already struggling to begin with.
So what do you hear? And I know they were Canada was talking about that the dairy industry is quite upset with Canada, I know. But as far as any NAFTA going to be touched here?
Yeah, it looks like from the memo that I've seen, it looks like Mexico, there's good progress there negotiating with them, and they're hopefully that when that gets wrapped up, there'll be more concentration on working with Canada. I'll tell you, I just think Canada's got the high ground here, it's something that I don't think we got a lot to work on when it comes to that dairy program. And then, of course, like I said, with the China, the stakes in China, I mean, they're extremely large. I mean, we got a $375 trade deficit with them, including the intellectual properties, which, is a big deal. There's no doubt about that. But we should have done this a different way, and that, I think our approach was aggressive and a little too aggressive, actually, and should have probably done more diplomatically. We could have got some other restrictions, through other foreign investments and such. But anyway, that's what looks like, to me is really going to be our challenge, is how are we going to stop this? And our crop is coming on fast. Farmers can't wait 6 months. I mean, I know Representative Nolan said yesterday at the fair that we should be out of this, hopefully within 6 months. And I hate to disagree with her, but I just don't see that happening. And these things take time, and this is going to be a long haul. And we're
joining me again is Doug. We got interrupted on our phones, dropped us. So, Doug, we were kind of talking about, how long, if it was going to take 6 months, and whether or not we can, it's going to be tough for these producers getting ready to harvest the last 6 months on this. They're going to have to move some of that grain sometime.
Yeah, and move it, and then look into next year. Farm visits are going to be tough this year between bankers and farmers, and they're going to have some candid conversations. And prior to visit tariffs, we've had low commodity prices to begin with, and so that's going to be some of the real challenges that we're looking at, Chuck. And I just don't see it happening, and I don't see Europe really taking us under their wing. That's just not going to happen. They don't. First of all, they don't like the GMO soybeans, so that's going to be a tough sell anyway. And Canada's, they got the high ground. Like I said, they're the ones that are protecting their producers, and they're doing it, by WTO standards. I don't know how we're going to change that. But we just got to get this over with China. We got to get to. Where we understand each other and work together. But I sure, looking back, it's 2020, right?
Yeah.
I wish we would have had this, some sort of a plan in place to help our producers through this tough time.
Well, one of the things, Doug, that's kind of taken a back road to all this is the Farm Bill and how we're moving back on that. I know the Senate's looking, but we haven't talked much about that because it's the tariffs have been taken most of the time.
Well, that's true, but even there, Chuck, we don't have a lot of a positive to talk about. I mean, we've got some wonderful things. I mean, Senator Thune has done a great job trying to implement some changes that we can utilize things like SHIP, which is basically a short-term CRP program that can utilize some poor acres, help you manage your inventories a little better and improve your soils. But we need the funding for that, and that's where we're really struggling. We just don't have Congress's attention for funding. And that's really our challenge. We just need more money in things like that to promote those programs, to help farmers utilize the tools and make them available to them.
Well, everything seems to be hitting right now about harvest time, and it looks like we got a pretty good harvest coming in our area, but they're talking about the report coming out tomorrow. Who knows where we're going to go? But have you ever seen fluctuations in markets like we've seen this year?
I mean, years ago, back in my early farming, when I first started, I've seen this a lot. And that's what's kind of scary, to be quite honest with you, because there's a lot of things affecting it today. We kind of fell into a lull here, right, in these last 15 years. We were doing pretty good. We had some pretty comfortable prices, pretty comfortable demand, but a lot of that came about because of things like the RFS, the Clean Air Act, things like that that really put ethanol on a pedestal, which drove the price, for the rest of our commodities. And that's really something that we haven't been doing a lot of, And even putting money into research, we haven't done a lot of that either. Private companies have, but our land grant colleges, we haven't done a very good job supporting them and promoting them and moving the public knowledge and the public effort forward.
Well, I know, Doug, that the ethanol has always been a major thing, especially in our country, and where would we be with corn prices if it wasn't for ethanol? Do we continue to see that? Are we seeing maybe a anything changing on the RFSs or anything like that? The RINs or
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, they're all, you know, all these acronyms with the ethanol are all concerning. I mean, the RFS, the RV, the RVOs, and even the greenhouse gas efforts. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, corn has come a long way in addressing issues, able to put the carbon back in soil, and no-till farming has helped a lot with that. Our technology has come a long way. And I think the corn ethanol will continue to step up and be the provider that we see it and need in this country. But, you know, we just got to start using more of it, Chuck. I mean, that's just as simple as that. I mean, we should be in every state that produces ethanol. It should be just a given that we're going to use 30% of that energy that we produce in our own state. I mean, that should just be a given. I mean, because if we're not going to use it, why would we expect anybody else to? Domestically, we just aren't using enough. We got a long way to go to get to our capabilities. You know, we've been working on that front, promoting the E30 Challenge with Glacial Lakes, and we're doing it in Aberdeen again right now, and we're getting great reception. I spent a day at the pump on last Friday, and it was really fun to do that and educate people and the acceptance of it. You know, the people are very, very willing to ask the questions and learn are very thankful because of our efforts. So, but we just need to do a better job of all of that. As a state, I mean, I guess I'm turning to our state candidate, governors, Secretary Representative Noem and Billy Sutton, asking them to step up to the plate and if they're elected governor to make that happen, that non-flex fuel vehicles can pull up to the pump and fill up with E30 without having to worry about whether they're going to be fined or the person selling it to them is going to be fined. I mean, there's these myths out there that's going to happen, and we need our governor, our legislators to step up and say, you know what, enough. We're going to help our communities, we're going to help our farmers and our ethanol businesses, and we're going to make this state great.
Well, not only is it better for the environment, and it runs really good in the vehicle, it's a lot cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper, and you know, your conversion of energy to the cost is incredible. But at the same time, you know, the best thing about Chuck is it's clean, and it leaves the air cleaner out the exhaust pipe than the other gasoline does. That's the big thing. And you know, we got a lot of cancer causing ingredients, the carcinogens and aromatics from those exhausts out of the regular gasoline that ethanol takes care of. And it's clean burning, it's natural. You know, when you think about the cost effects of our health care today, I wonder, we've never done a study, and it should be done, to find out if we were using these higher blends completely, how much would that help with our health care costs? How much would that lower the costs and the risk to autisms and cancers?
Well, that'll be something we'll have to look for in the future, Doug. And I know a lot of things going on, and we got to get going here. But thanks for joining me, and we'll be talking more. And I guess State Fair is just around the corner and won't be long.
Yeah, this is an exciting time of the year. I really enjoy this time of year, the achievement days and the county fairs and the state fairs. I mean, it's our state showing what we do best. And we come together as a great family and kind of reunite every year about this time.
All right, Doug, thank you for joining me, and you have a good day, and hopefully you can keep getting some of those shots of rain over there.
You bet. Thanks, Chuck. Talk to you later.
Yep, thanks, Doug. That's Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union.